Why slow? Yeah, that's the first I can't get right.
Yeah, toilet a landing sets in this canoe. He paddles along o'er the water so blue. He thinks of the time when this land was their own, before those pale faced on among the Merlon, among the Merlon, among the Merlon. Before those pale faced on among the Merlon, when those red men first came to this soil, they lived at their ease from sorrow and toil. They hunted the panther and the deer they did slain. Poor Indian now seeks for his wigwam vain. For his wigwam vain. For his wigwam vain. Poor Indian now seeks for his wigwam vain. When those white men first came to this land, we used them as brothers, we gave them our hand. And when we got weary, we give them refold, not thinking those white men would e'er be our foe. Would e'er be our foe, would e'er be our foe. Not thinking those white men would e'er be our foes. They built their fine city all over our land, and on those rich meadows their farmhouses stand. They took all of our country from Texas to Maine. Poor Indian now seeks for his wigwam vain. For his wigwam vain. For his wigwam vain. Poor Indian now seeks for his wigwam vain. They built their fine cities all over our land, and on those rich meadows their farmhouses stand. They own all this country from Texas to Maine. Poor Indian now roams for his wigwam vain. For his wigwam vain. For his wigwam vain. Poor Indian now roams for his wigwam vain. Gay graves of our forefathers, where are they now? They've turned them all under, they've given them the plow. Gay graves of our forefathers, never seen more. Poor Indian now see, rejected and foe, rejected and foe, rejected and foe. Poor Indian now seeks for rejected and foe. That poor little Indian sits in his canoe. He paddles along o'er the water so blue. He thinks of that time when this land was their own. Day for those pale-faced ones was among them were alone. Was among them were known. Was among them were known. Before those pale-faced ones among them were alone.
People, I can't get all that together. I forgot Hazel.
Currents, you mentioned the Panthers in that song.
Huh?
You mentioned Panthers in that song.
Panthers, yeah.
Yeah. Most people today don't know what Panthers are. They don't seem to be around anymore.
No,
no. There used to be Panthers in this country.
Oh, they used to be. Oh, yeah. There used to be Panther on William River, yeah. You could see them there about every year. Yeah.
Oh. Mountain lions.
Mountain lions.
Panthers.
Panthers. Wolves, they was everything there about that time, back in them jungles, oh yes. It wasn't safe for a man to go in there if they had any meat killed. I'll tell you, they watch that meat now. They'd kill a deer, and they'd get on a high place on in a rock cave. They'd sit and watch it. You'd better not go close to it. If you did, them panthers would come right off after. So would those wildcats. Anything that had their meat. Yes, sir. Oh, it used to be that was a wild country. Me and my dad, I was a boy. We was tracking three deer. An old doe and two fawns is what it was. And they went right around the edge of the cliff, you know, goes right around the tops of the mountains. Oh, cliff's high at the top of this house. And shells on it, you know. And me and Daddy was tracking these three deer around under the cliffs. Just now, here come two of them back. They've seen their track, you know. Come back through the snow, and they kept under us. We never seen them. The old man said, "Now, something's happened." And I said, "What is it? They've seen us or smelled us, turned back." "No," he said. "They're going too straight." He said, "Something happened in front." Well, we looked the way them and went, turned back. We took their track, followed them back out around the rocks, and when they got out there, we found where they'd turned back, and here they'd caught one of the fawns and had killed it and had it lame, covered up with some sticks and leaves that raked over them. And oh, it just scared me, boy, kids, you know. I was just looking every minute to see one come and jumping on me. And the old man said to me, that's my father. He said, "Now, we'll go right out here and get behind these rocks and sit down." And he said, "Don't you move. And it'll be out in a little bit," he said, "and I'll kill it." Well, we went out around the hill and clumb up on some rocks. You could see down where the cave was. And got in behind these big rocks. I was sitting there and I was watching every place, see something coming out. And just now, all the sun began to come out that evening long. It was getting long, about 4 o'clock. And right where above where the deer laid, there was a ledge. I expect the ledge is as wide as from here to the wall where it went up. And I just sitting there watching, you know, but Daddy, he was watching the lower ledge. I seen it come out. I said to my daddy and punched him. I said, "I see it. Do you see it?" He said, "Where?" I said, "Look on that second ledge there." Daddy said, "Yeah, I see. Sit right still." Now he said, "Whenever it comes out there, where I can get a good shot at it," he said, "I'll kill it." He said, "I want to kill it." We sat there, and oh, it wasn't over 5 minutes, maybe not that long. It just walked out there just the slow, got right out the ledge and sat looking down at that deer who he'd killed. And the old man shot it. And he shot that thing, I'll bet you, when the gun cracked, he'd jumped further than the wall over yonder, right down the hill. Just looked like he'd throw it. And I said, well, you reckon he killed it? Oh, yes, he said. And I know right square we're headed. And we get down off of the ledge and went back around, hit a lane there. Now, it was 8 feet from the tip of its tail to the end of its nose. And it was what they called the mountain cats. Well, its teeth, Jerry, was that long and bigger than a dog's tooth. And it had killed that fawn just deader than 4 o'clock. Jumped off of them ledge right on it, you know. Cut his throat. Oh, that's... So he had him all covered up. He'd eat a mess out of it, though. Yeah, he'd eat some of it and had it all covered up with sticks and leaves and stuff. Oh, I'll tell you, it wasn't safe to be in that country. I'm not kidding you now. It don't look right, but it wasn't. No, sir, around them rocks.
How about the wild hogs?
Huh?
How about the wild hogs? Was it?
Wild hogs, yeah. Oh my gosh.
They could get pretty mean.
They were thick.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, a fellow by the name of Henry Christian, he used to hire us. Come there in the fall, they got cold weather and hire us to go and help kill hogs in the woods. He had 6 dogs, hounds. He stayed at old John Hammond's all the time, kept them dogs there. Well, we hunted at Laurel Run and Big Beachy. And what they call Spice Run, that's down next to Dar Settlement. After he had his hogs, he claimed turned out. He didn't have a bit more hogs than I've got. No, he just turned out a bunch. One fall, well, he'd kill all them that fall. But he just kept killing hogs every fall. Everybody had hogs turned out. We had hogs turned out. But there was one hog girl is an old male. Now, he chased a lot of people out of the woods, a lot of them. He kept me up in a bush for about 2 hours. That's no kidding. And if it hadn't been for a little old dog was with me, I don't know when he'd let me down. Now, Jerry, you can believe this or not, but it's the truth. I was in a beech bush. Oh, I was up high as the ceiling. But he'd come to a log. An old log laid down the hill, an old ash. He'd come to that log and he was mad. The dog was barking at him, no fighting him. And he'd just throw his head sideways and hit her with them tushies. He'd bring splinters out of that solid log that long.
How big are they?
Yes, sir, just with his tushies. Just like you'd take a chisel or something and cut it. And them splinters would just fly. A lot of old dog, he wouldn't quit. And he wouldn't leave for all that. But every chance he got, he'd grab him. Well, I had went to dig a mess of ramps that I went for, up and they called the ramp holler, and had a little .22. The bar was about that long. I always tuck it with me to shoot red squirrels and stuff and go to dig ramps. But I'd climb the tree with this gun. I was setting up. Well, my dad told me, always did tell me, to never shoot it. He said, if you shoot it and don't kill it, it'll eat you up. Now he said, that's all there is to it. Well, our dog was just a baying and a fighting, and I sitting up there, and he got to fighting that old log, you know, and then he'd make a dive at the dog, and then he'd go back and throw that old log. I thought, old fella, the next time you turn your head and look at me, I'm going to try you a shot. I was sitting on a limb. He went and hit the log, and the old dog grabbed it about the time he kissed the log, and he just whirled around like that, and the dog went through under the log, but the dog couldn't get through there. And he just stopped and was standing looking. Boy, I think so right now is my time. Because spang, I took him right in the side of the back of the head. I'm a-telling you, I never seen anything get as mad in my life. All the blood is just pouring out of his nose. Now that dog coming from around the log and got after him. And I swear, I thought he was going to kill that dog. Now I did. I thought it's goodbye. I threw that old empty out and got another shell in. I thought, old fellow, I'll give you another one. If I get a chance, not hit the dog. It is hard to keep him shooting, you know, and the dog will fight him. They're just here and yonder. Finally, he comes sideways to me, and I shot him right behind the front leg. Kaspang, it never even stopped. And I know to hit it, for I could hit a dime 50 yards of that thing. Well, he just kept fighting. I just threw that empty out and threw another one in. I thought to myself, I'll just keep giving it to you as long as I've got a shell. Well, that time he come up around above the tree, and well, I believe with the left firing the shot. And I shot him right back in the other side, ranging for it. He went to squealing. I knowed then I had him whooped. I thought, old feller, just squeal, I'll keep pouring her to you. Every time I got a chance, I laid a bullet in him, any place I could hit him. And finally, he just went out around the hill a little bit, just rolled right over. Old dog went over there and took a hold of it and just stepped back and looked. He seen he was dead. I come down the bush, went on, dug my ramps. Went home to tell an old man. He said, yeah, I told you. I said, he'll not run me no more. He's laying up there again the hill. Said, you kill that hog? Yes, I kill that hog. And I said, I meant to kill him.
How about singing us that bang him in the boar again?
Bang, made bang a wooden gun?
Yeah. That's just
I'll try it. Do anything once. Bang, I made him a wooden gun, dill-o-dee. Bang, I made him a wooden gun, dill-o-dee. Bang, I made him a wooden gun to shoot the wild boar as he comes. Get away, cuddle down. He followed this wild boar to his den, dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. He followed this wild boar to his den, dill-o-dee. He followed this wild boar to his den, where he had bones of 1,000 men. Get away, cuddle down, Kwani. Bang, I made him a wooden knife, dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. Bang, I made him a wooden knife, dill-o-dee. Bang, I made him a wooden knife to prod this bullhog for his life. Get away, cuddle down, Kwani. This wild boar come, it's the chidash, dill-o-dee, dill-o-dee. This wild boar come with sitchy dash, dill o dee. This wild boar come with sitchy dash, come splitting his way through oak and ash. Get away, cuddle down, Kwani. I'm going to sing one I never sung to these fellas. Yeah, I think I sung it to you.
Okay.
Once I owned the finest mule, you've heard me sing it. That's just an old funny song, listen to it. Once I owned the finest mule was out. He was ringbone lame in both hind legs and two of his eyes was out. He'd kick an hat from off his ear, he never would stand still. I'll have me a match for that old mule if it cost me a dollar bill. Whoa, muley, whoa, why don't you hear him holler? Jerk the knot in that mule's tail or he'll go through the collar. Why don't you put him on the track? Why don't you let him go? It's every time he stopped that mule, it's whoa, muley, whoa. I bought that mule at an auction sale, it is rigging all combined. I put him in the stable, well, the harness fit him fine. But when you went to hook him up right, then you'd better look out. He'd kick and strike with both hind feet, don't you bet that mule was stout. Whoa, muley, whoa, why don't you hear me holler? Jerk the knot in that mule's tail, he's gone through the collar. Why don't you put him on the track? Why don't you let him go? It's every time you stop that mule, say, whoa, muley, whoa. Well, I took my girl a sleigh ride in, the mule began to balk. He threw her out on the street and soiled her Sunday frock. The girl, she swore she'd have a fence and stooped to pick a brick. That mule let loose his both hind feet, don't you bet that girl was sick. Whoa, muley, whoa, why don't you hear me holler? Jerk a knot in that mule's tail, he'll go through the collar. Why don't you put him on the track, why don't you let him go? Every time stop that mule, sing, whoa, muley, whoa. I hitched him to a streetcar and drove him through the square. He jumped again the bridle bits and things began to tear. You oughta saw the people getting round, but they're all a-moving so slow. But everybody in this town hollered, whoa, muley, whoa. Oh, Lord. You know, it takes fools to have fun. One person wouldn't have none, would he? Is that right?
That's right.
Well, I don't know nothing else to sing, Gary. If you do, you tell it.
Why don't you tell us another story there, Kurt?
Huh?
Why don't you tell us another story?
What kind of story?
Oh, let's think here.
Oh, I don't know. Hard for me to think of.
Maybe Jerry's got a good idea over there.
Huh?
Maybe Jerry's got a good idea over there.
Oh, yeah, he ought to tell
us. I'd like you to hear you sing The Little Sparrow sometime.
The Little what?
The Little Sparrow.
The Little Sparrow.
I wish I was the Little Sparrow.
I'll surely tell you the truth, I can't get all hip together anymore. And I've sung that and helped my uncle sing it, I know, 1,000 times. But I've just forgot it. I never sung it very much.
You want to sing a verse or two if you can get it?
Yeah, I'll try it. What I can sing of it. I wish I was a little sparrow. And I had wings and I couldn't fly. I'd fly away to another country where no one would tell no lie. Come all you fair young handsome ladies and declare to the world that your love is true. They'll tell to you some handsome stories and they'll swear to the world that their love is true. I wish I was a little sparrow and I had wings and I couldn't fly. I'd fly away across the river and it's there I'd sail down and die. some ladies and declare to the world that your love is true. They'll tell to you some handsome story and swear to the world that their love is true. That's it. Sing Groundhog, some of you.
Start us off.
Groundhog.
You start us off and we'll all sing.
You will?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I shouldered up my gun and I whistled to my dog. Shouldered up my gun and I whistled to my dog. I'm going on the hillside to catch a groundhog. Groundhog. One in the ground, the other in the log. One in the ground, the other in the log. For I heard him whistle and I knew he was a hog. Groundhog. Run your sow with a 10-foot pole. Run your sow with a 10-foot pole. Punch this groundhog out of his hole. Groundhog. Said, dig, boys, dig, just as hard as you can tire. Dig, boys, dig, just as hard as you can tire. The meat's good to eat and the hide's good to wear. Groundhog. Out comes Sal with a sniggle and a grin. Out comes Sal with a sniggle and a grin. The groundhog grease running off of her chin. Groundhog. There's meat in the cupboard, hides in the churn. Meat's in the cupboard and hide in the churn. If that ain't groundhog, I'll be darned. Groundhog. I knowed some of them knowed. Well, Jerry, we'd better get up the hill.
Pretty soon. We're looking for a few more yet.
I don't know none of the things today right offhand. I'll have to study something.
How about telling the class a little bit about your Uncle Ed in there?
What about him?
Oh, just whatever you feel like talking about, the occurrence.
I've known so much about him now, Paul.
Tell that one about him and Ren McGee got together and played the fiddle.
That is down here on Dry Run, Mike McGee. Yeah, they'd been telling Ed, you know, telling me that everybody, that Ren Lauk was the best violinist that ever played a fiddle. Said he had the champion of the best. Well, Edna had never heard him play. I never had. But a fellow by the name of Gerald Harris lived right below my dad. My dad lived on Windy Run, or Light Run, I mean. And Gerald had come up there. Said to me, he said, Mr. Hammond, I said, all right. He said, will you try to get your Uncle Edna over at Mike McGee's next Saturday night? I said, yeah, I can get him over there. All I have to do is go and just tell him, and he's ready to go wherever I asked him to go. You have him over there, I said, at Mike McGee's, my wife's uncle, at 7 o'clock Saturday night. I said, okay. I said, what do you want him for? Well, he said, now there's a coming fiddler there. Supposed to be the best fiddler in Randolph County or in the United States, the claim. But he said, I say he's not. He said, I've got $25. I'm going to bet on Ed and Hammond. I said, well, I'll go over and tell him and have him to come over Saturday night. He said, all right. Well, we seen Mike McGee. Mike said, now, there ain't a bit of use for him to come. That was Ren's uncle, Mike was. For he said, Mike can't be beat on the fiddle. Well, I said, now, there never was nobody so good if somebody else was a little better. Ah, Mike said, no use talking about that. Well, I'll have him over here. So Saturday night, 6:30, I went over to Eden's house. He just lived over from the old mine a little ways. And I told Eden, I said, Eden, get your fiddle. You're going over there. Allie, it was a kind of raining, just a kind of a drizzle rain. And Eden said, I hate to take my fiddle out in this rain. He didn't have no case for it, you know. He just stuck it down one of these 25-pound flat power flower pokes, you know. 25-pound. That's where he put it in, just kissed, stuck the bow down there and kissed over the top of it. That's the way he carried it. Well, he said, I'll go. Yeah, I said, you're going. Come on. I had the banjo. I said, I'm going to take the banjo down. I don't want to hear Ren McGee play the banjo. I said, now, they say he's good on the banjo. My Honor Eden said, I've heard of him, but I never seen him. I never know. I said, but we'll see him tonight. Away we went across the hill and went over to Mike's and got in on the porch. Eden, I walked on in front of Eden, met Mike, and Mike said, come on in. Well, Gerald was in there, Gerald Harris, but Gerald was about half drunk. Well, me and Eden walked on in. Mike made us acquainted with Ren McGee. Oh, he was a tall fella, slim boy, and long, slim fingers. I looked at him, I thought, now maybe you're beat this time, Eden. I didn't say nothing. Well, Gerald slipped me out around the house to give me a drink of liquor. He had it hid out there. Now I said, Gerald, give Eden a drink, but only give him one drink. Don't give him much. I said, he can't stand to drink much, he'll be drunk. And then I said, he can't play nothing. Gerald said, I'll get him. So Gerald went in and he walked up to Eden and he said, Mr. Hammonds, he said, come out here a minute, I'll talk to you. Eden walked out. He gave him a drink of whiskey. And Eden come back in and, well, Eden said to Ren, now he said, Mr. McGee, I want to hear you play the fiddle.